Thanks for tuning in to Mountain View Fellowship's weekly podcast with lead pastor Don Headley. At MVF, our mandate is pointing people to Jesus by fostering relationships. We know Jesus cared for people and placed a lot of emphasis on relationships, so we do too. We believe that we're created for relationship with God and that He gave each one of us a desire to belong. If you'd like more information about MVF, connect with us at mvfcolorado.com. Now, stay tuned for this week's message.
Today we are continuing with our A2C series. We've been in this for a few weeks now, and we've been talking about this early Acts church. A2C stands for Acts 2 Church, which is what we said we wanted to be when we launched Mountain View Fellowship. If you would, grab the Bible, head over to Acts chapter 2. We're looking at verses 42 through 47 today. It is a critical piece of what we want to be in and who we're trying to emulate, because this is the birth of the Christian church, what we read about in Acts chapter 2. And it all starts with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We found out several weeks ago that it all started when the believers were filled with the Spirit of God, and they began to go out into the streets and they began to teach. And what we have learned from verse 42 is that they were devoted to four things. The first thing was the apostles' teaching. We said that today that has become the Word of God, or the Bible. We want to be a church that's devoted to the Word, to studying the Word, to learning it, to applying it to our lives. The next thing that we found out that they're devoted to is fellowship. And as we've said so often, this wasn't just getting together and having a few laughs and sharing some brats. This is life fellowship. This is experiencing everything in life together, walking through the high points as well as the low points together, and being devoted to one another. And the third thing that they were devoted to was sharing in meals. And we found out last week that that really has a broader meaning. It means that they were coming together daily in the homes. They were sharing in meals. So they were taking care of each other's needs. But they were also, in the middle of that meal, they were sharing in the Lord's Supper. They were actually passing the cup and breaking the bread and remembering the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross, His death and His resurrection. And that's what brought so much meaning to these gatherings of these early believers in the early Acts church. And so if we're going to be an early Acts church, if we're going to devote ourselves to it, we need to be devoted to the same things. And so first thing is the apostles' teaching. Second is fellowship. Third is sharing in the meals, especially the Lord's Supper. And then we're talking about the fourth one today. But before we get there, I want to ask you, remember back to when you were a kid. Remember what life was like? Remember how much simpler it was when you were a child? Now, you didn't think it was, but it was. Making a decision was as easy as eeny, meeny, mighty, mo, right? If you made a mistake in life, all you had to say is do over, and you got to do it all over again. And then the worst thing that you could catch from the opposite sex were the dreaded cooties. Life was pretty simple. It was so simple, in fact, that if you ran into something that you couldn't handle on your own, what did you do? You went to Dad and you got the answer, or he fixed it for you and took care of it for you. Now, as all of us have learned, as we grow older, life becomes more complex. It's a little more complicated than that, isn't it? Can you imagine in your decision making if you whipped out any, meeny, mighty, mo in a corporate meeting? I don't know if that'd go over so well. Also, when we make mistakes now, we realize the consequences are more severe and it affects more than just us. And there are a lot more things that we can catch from the opposite sex. I won't even get into that. But there is one thing that remains true even today. When things get too hard, when we run into something we don't have the answer for, we can still go and ask Dad. Now, I'm not talking about our earthly father, obviously. I'm talking about our heavenly father. I'm talking about prayer. And so today, as we talk about this fourth thing that we want to be devoted to, I want to take a look at Acts chapter 2, verse 42. It says, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. Today, I want to talk to you about being devoted to prayer. This is something that we have said all along, that as Mountain View Fellowship, as a church, as a body of believers, we wanted to be a church in prayer. It's always been the heart of this church, to be a church on its knees before God. And several years ago, we felt like we had drifted from that. And so we began to put things in place to draw our hearts back to a heart of prayer. We implemented the directed prayers, which you just saw in the middle of our worship set today. This idea of praying together and directing those prayers. We also started prayer nights in our building before quarantine. You could come and you could walk through our building, and there were all these stations where you could pray. And when we went into quarantine, we started holding those out in the parking lot. We had eight of those in 8 weeks in a row where you came and we were united in prayer. And so I want us today to devote ourselves to prayer. This is my simple and, quite frankly, humanly impossible goal today, is to get you to devote yourself to prayer. The reason I say humanly impossible is because I know it's going to take a prompting of the Spirit, and it's going to take your obedience for us to be a church that's devoted to prayer. But this is my goal. And the reason it's my goal today is because the Bible calls us to be a church that's devoted to prayer. Romans chapter 12, verse 12 tells us to rejoice in our confident hope, be patient in trouble, and keep on praying. Now, your version might say, be devoted to prayer, or constant in prayer, or faithful in prayer. But I like the word devoted. I think that's a great translation. Also, we see that in the Acts 2 translation as well, this idea of being devoted. Now, what's remarkable about this word is that the word is actually used 10 times in the New Testament, and five of those times that it's used, it's actually applied directly to prayer. Besides what we just read there in Romans chapter 12, verse 12, let me give you a few more examples. First one is Acts chapter 1, verse 14. This is after the ascension of Jesus, and while the disciples were waiting in Jerusalem for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, they all met together and were constantly united in prayer. We see it in Acts chapter 6, verse 4. It says, then we apostles can spend our time in prayer and teaching the word. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Paul says to every one of us, devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. And then, of course, what we just read in Acts chapter 2, it's talking about those early converts in the church in Jerusalem. And it says they were devoted to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing meals and to prayer. And so if we're going to be an early Acts church, we have to learn how to devote ourselves to prayer. This word devote is so key. The root word that's used there is actually found in other places in Scripture. For instance, Mark chapter 3, verse 9. This is where Jesus instructs his disciples to have a boat ready so that the crowd would not crush him. And that word ready is actually the same root word that we see in devotion. This boat was set apart. It was devoted for the purpose of taking Jesus away if the crowds begin to press in on him. This idea of being devoted just means dedicated for a task or appointed for a particular task. This is our job, our whole role, our responsibility when we devote ourselves to something. Now, boats, They really can't be devoted to something because they just sit there. But people, we're not dedicated that way. Actually, when this word is applied to a person, it means to be devoted or dedicated in a sense, not only for a designation or appointment, but also of action in that appointed task or pressing into that task. So what we learn is from the New Testament scriptures, this normal Christian life is a life that is devoted to prayer. And when I start to read and understand that, I have to ask myself, am I devoted to prayer? Am I a person that is devoted to prayer? Now, that doesn't mean that I just go around doing nothing but pray. You know, I'm not on my knees 24/7 any more than being devoted to my wife means that all I do is follow my wife around. But see, my devotion to my wife affects every area of my life. It actually causes me to give myself to her in many different ways in my life, but that's not the only thing that I do, but yet I'm still devoted to her. Same thing applies to when we talk about being devoted to prayer. It doesn't mean that that's all you do is pray. Even though Paul does say in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 that we should pray without ceasing, the way that we do that is that it just comes out in everything that we do in life, being devoted to prayer. It means that there's a pattern of praying that is evident within our lives. That's being devoted to prayer. Now, it won't be the same for everyone, but it will be something significant. Like, you'll know when somebody is devoted to prayer. Being devoted to prayer looks different than somebody who's not devoted to prayer. I know that sounds like just an elementary statement, but think about it. We all know people who are devoted to prayer in our lives. We know prayer warriors. That's kind of what we call them many times. We go, that person prays a lot. That one is an effective prayer warrior. I've heard it said that the best friend that you can have is a praying friend, and I believe that to be true. We all want those people in our lives, but those are the people that we look at and we go, they're devoted to prayer. We need to be devoted to prayer because God knows the difference, and He'll call us into account. Have we been devoted to prayer? Is there a pattern of praying in our lives that can be fairly pointed at or recognized as a devotion to prayer? Would your friends say that you're devoted to prayer? Now, I think most of us would agree that there are some kinds of praying that really wouldn't count as being devoted to prayer. So let's just get these out of the way right now. Praying in your life only when you're experiencing a crisis is not really being devoted to prayer. That's a pattern of devotion to prayer, but that's not really a devotion to prayer. Because every time you go into a crisis, you pray. Another one would be like praying at mealtimes. That's just a pattern. It isn't consistent with Paul's encouragement of being devoted to prayer. Or at night when we throw up this little short, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. That's a prayer at the end of the day, and that's really not being devoted to prayer. Or the hit and miss, help me Lord, when I'm in a parking lot, I'm trying to find a parking space. That's not being devoted to prayer. I think we would agree that Paul expects much more out of us as disciples of Jesus Christ when he says, be devoted to prayer. And we know that this means something different. This is a whole nother level of prayer life. And let's not forget that all of this is even possible because of the cross of Christ. I mean, what Jesus did on the cross, his death in place of all of us as sinners, that's the foundation for our prayer anyway. That's what made us right with God so that we can have a conversation with him in the first place. There would be no acceptable answer to how or why we pray if it wasn't for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross and his pain for our sins so that we could be in right standing with God. This is one of the reasons why we pray, and we usually end in Jesus' name, or in Jesus' name we pray, because he made it possible. So today I want to share with you the why and how of prayer. I want to encourage you with the why, and then I want to give you some practical steps on the how. And so let's take a look at this idea of why we pray, because I think it's important to kind of sell you on the idea. Again, I'm trying to get us to devote ourselves to prayer today, so I want you to know why it's important for us to pray. First of all, we pray because God wants us to pray. God wants us to pray. He encourages us to pray. Evinda Lapines actually said it this way: the bridge between panic and peace is prayer. Prayer is critical to every aspect of our lives, and God encourages us to come to him. Bringing him our prayers only when we're in trials or when we're struggling or in our worries or burdens, that's kind of like the brother-in-law who only calls you when you need money. So we need more than that, and that's a good thing. God wants that. But see, God wants more than that. He wants us to pray every time, anytime, all the time. He wants us to pray, to constantly communicate with him, to come before him. It's a good thing to fill our days in prayer, to be what Paul was talking about, you know, consistent in prayer, or pray without ceasing. Martin Luther said it this way: it's a good thing to let prayer be the first business of the morning and the last of the evening. Now, some of us, we struggle in praying. We feel like we fall short when we don't spend enough time in prayer. And if prayer doesn't come easy to you, just count yourself as normal, okay? You're fallen, you're sinful just like the rest of us, and we're all struggling to do a better job of this, but God wants us to pray. Number two, the needs are great. Our needs are bigger than we are. Do you realize that there are eternal things at stake here, things that are out of our control that we need to be praying about? There are things that are bigger than you and bigger than me, things that we can't handle on our own, struggles that we're having in our family or for the church or in world missions or in the culture. Just think about what's going on in our country today. There are things that are much bigger than we are. The need is great, and we need to be in prayer. God wants us to pray. The need is great. And then number three, God acts when we pray. Do you realize that when God's people come together, God moves? It's amazing to me that God can do more in 5 seconds than I could in 5 years, and yet I neglect praying. I don't come to him like I should. The situation that I look at and I go, that's completely impossible, is just simply an opportunity for God to step in and do what God can do. It's amazing to me that we serve a God that is all powerful and has the answer to everything, and yet we neglect to go to him many times. God wants us to pray. The need is great, and God acts when we pray. And there's plenty more reasons why we should pray, but let's talk about how we should pray. How do we pray? If we're going to be a church devoted to prayer, we need to devote ourselves individually. Each one of us has to be at this place where we're devoting ourselves. We understand the power of prayer. We're committed to it. Jesus set the example for us so often in Scripture. He would get off by himself to pray, like Mark chapter 6, verse 46. It says, after telling everyone goodbye, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. So often we see Jesus getting off by himself. Why? Because he was devoted individually to prayer. He knew the importance of spending time with his God alone. I heard it said that prayer is really putting your faith in God and trusting him for the miraculous. We need to go before God on an individual level and spend time with him and allow his Holy Spirit to speak to us, listen and speak with God on our own. This is being devoted to prayer. I think right now more than ever we need it, because I'm having conversations and so many people that I'm talking to, I'm hearing the same phrases, I'm hearing the same things said by them that I hear on the news or on social media. And I want you to know that you are being discipled. You're being discipled by something. I want it to be by Jesus. I want Jesus to be the one that has the loudest voice in your life. And so you need to spend more time in prayer than you do on social media, watching the news. I want to encourage you to devote yourself to prayer. It would do you mentally, spiritually, a lot of good. And I want you not only just to pray, but I want you to pray dangerous prayers. And I want us to pray prayers, not just bless our food and give me a parking spot, but I want us to pray bold prayers like King David. King David prayed and he said, search my heart and see if there's any offensive way in me. Think about how bold that is. That's a dangerous prayer. Asking God to really look at you and let you know if there's something not right with you. Can you imagine praying that type of prayer? As pastors, we had a conversation about the line that says, break my heart for what breaks yours. And we thought, what a dangerous prayer that is. Because if we were truly broken for what breaks the heart of God, our lives would be different. The way we spend our money and our time would be completely different. I want us to pray those types of prayers. Why don't we pray those types of prayers? I think it's because we will only pray prayers that benefit us or fulfill our own desires. We don't want to be stretched. We don't want to be pulled out of our comfort zone. We don't want God to do what we believe that he wants to do in and through us, because that would be uncomfortable. On average, we have 600 people that come to Mountain View Fellowship for services on a Sunday morning before quarantine. And I was thinking through that, going, you know, if we had 100, if we had 50, just 10. If we just had 10 people that devoted themselves to prayer, what could happen? See, I believe that God could do more with 10 people who were in prayer, who were devoted to prayer and passionately seeking his will, than he could with 600 who just wanted to get on with their life. See, I think individually we need to devote ourselves to prayer. But secondly, we need to devote ourselves to prayer together. Corporately, as a church, as a body of believers, we need to come together. And this is where I want to focus our time today, because I believe this is what we see in Acts 2. They were devoted to prayer. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong for you to pray individually, but there's times we need to pray with a friend or a spouse or pray with our life group. And I think in that moment, there are so many things that happen. This prayer that we pray together, there's something that happens in that when God's people come together and they pour their hearts out before him, he moves in a big way. Now, my question is this. Do we truly believe that there's power in prayer? We say it, but does our prayer life reflect that? I don't know. So I think if we truly believe there was power in prayer, we would pray more often together. Did you hear the directed prayer this morning? Angie gave it to us in the middle of worship. It came out of 2 Chronicles 7:14. If you would look at this passage and just embrace this promise that God gives. He's speaking to Solomon and he says, "Then if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and restore their land." Did you catch it? If they will humble themselves and pray, he promises that he will forgive and that he will restore. You and I, in this moment, we are living in a crazy time. And we know that this moment in time is not about politics and it's not about what the coronavirus is doing. It is really about what God is doing in and through his church on this earth. That's what's going on. God is trying to get our attention. The church is the answer to all the problems that we see going on around us. This is the calling for each and every one of us to devote ourselves as an A2 church to really embrace this idea of the word, of fellowship, of sharing in meals and prayer. And if we say yes to this, it will impact everything. Nothing will be the same. It will change everything from this time forward. I believe that. I believe if we devoted ourselves to prayer together, what could happen? What would happen? Do you realize that we have an orphanage in Bolivia that we've been supporting for the last decade, and they're hit hard with coronavirus right now? What happens if you and I joined together, just joined our hearts together and our minds, and we begin to pray for healing and for health for Bolivia and for Andrea's home of hope and joy? What would happen? What would happen if tomorrow on Monday, you and I, we came together and we prayed for our country, that we would choose love and forget hate, that we would choose love over hate? What would happen? Tuesday, what if we got together and as God's people, we combined our prayers and we aligned our hearts and minds and we prayed that every person on the face of the earth would have clean drinking water? What if on Wednesday we got together and we just prayed, we poured our hearts out that God would eradicate poverty? What would happen? What would happen on Thursday if we prayed that starvation would be eliminated? What would happen if Friday we gathered together, we aligned our prayers, and we prayed that all the orphans and the widows would be cared for? And then on Saturday, we joined our hearts and minds and we prayed that everyone would know who Jesus is, starting in our communities in Eastern Colorado, that nobody would perish without knowing Jesus Christ. What would happen? And then we gathered back together on Sunday and we worshiped together. What would our worship be like? Do you truly believe that those things could happen? Do you truly believe in the power of prayer? Do you believe that God can take care of clean water and starvation? And do you believe that? See, our prayer life reflects what we believe. I want you to look at what happens to these early Acts 2 believers as they devoted themselves. Take a look at what happens. Verse 43 through 47. It says, "A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day, the Lord added to the fellowship those who were being saved." It's interesting to me that all they did was devoted themselves to those things, and God moved in a mighty way. And you know what? They changed the world. They literally changed the world forever. It's the reason why you and I are here today. It's why we have hope for the future and for eternity, because they changed the world. They devoted themselves. Can we devote ourselves to these things, to the apostles' teaching, to the word of God, to fellowship, not just in a laugh, but sharing in each other's life? Can we devote ourselves to sharing in meals and remembering the sacrifice that Jesus made during those meals? And can we devote ourselves to prayer, honest to goodness prayer, of aligning our hearts and minds and praying for what God can do in and through us? Now, I told you, I painted a picture of what Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday could look like if we aligned our hearts. And here's what we're going to do. We're actually going to do that. And I believe that God's going to move in that. Do you know why? Because it's His will. It's His desire. He wants to do these things, but He wants His people to get on their knees, to humble themselves, and to pray. And it says that He will forgive and He will restore. And so we're going to send out a text each night this week, and we're going to pray for those things together. I want to encourage you to pray for that for an entire 24 hours. And when you get the text the following evening, start right then. Start praying for the next thing. But we're going to join our hearts and minds in prayer this week, because I believe in the power of prayer, and I believe God wants to move in a mighty way. Now, the other thing that we're going to do is this Thursday, for the next three Thursdays, we're going to gather at the cross for worship. We're going to come together. We're going to worship in song. We're going to worship in prayer together. It's at 7 o'clock at the cross every Thursday night. We hope to see you there. And then next week, here's what's going to happen. We want to encourage you to get ready, because next week is going to be completely different. What you're going to witness next week is going to be a home church on the screen. You're going to watch it happen in front of you. And our prayer and hope is that you'll see it done, and then you'll realize that it's not that hard, that you can devote yourself to these things, and that you can have a home church, and you can have an impact on the world around you just by living out what we see in this Acts 2 church. And so we're going to have a lot of fun with that next week. I hope that you'll tune in. And then start right now getting ready for 2 weeks from today, because 2 weeks from today, we're going to ask you to do that very thing, to have a home church, to gather with some other people, and to devote yourself to the Word. We're going to have a small teaching for you, so you'll be able to do that. You'll be able to answer some questions. To fellowship, just hang out, barbecue, do whatever you want to do, but really just get to know one another. To breaking of bread, of sharing in a meal. So we want you to share a meal, whether it's breakfast or lunch or whatever it might be. Just share a meal. And then we want you to pray. Just spend a little bit of time in prayer together and to emulate this Acts 2 church. I want you to get a feel for what this is like. And my prayer and hope is for us to have a new appreciation for what we read in Acts. For every time that we read that passage from here on out, we'll have a mental picture as to what that's like, that we'll understand it on a deeper level. And as we begin launching home churches in Eastern Colorado, that you'll have a better appreciation for what they're dealing with. May God break our heart for that. And may we have a passion to reach Eastern Colorado for Christ. I want to pray for us today. What a novel idea, right? So if you would, just bow your heads and join me in this prayer as we pray together, that we would be devoted to prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you that you are a God that moves. You move in and through your people. And Lord, I pray that even though we've been sitting here today talking about being devoted to prayer, Lord, I pray that you would encourage us, send your Holy Spirit, that we might really devote ourselves to prayer, that we would be one in mind and heart with your Spirit. As we look at our world, as we look for ways that you're using us, Lord, help us to align with what it is that you want done. Lord, help us to discover your will as we live out our lives. And Lord, I pray that as we are just moving through life, that we are learning to devote ourselves to prayer, that we will hear your voice, that we will know that we are here because of you. And God, I pray that as we do this, that you would speak loudly, Lord, loudly to us. Help us to understand what it is that you are doing. And God, would you please, for those who are skeptical, would you please meet with them right now? Would you let them know that you desire this, that you want a relationship? It's why you sent your Son. And Lord, I pray that if there's anyone hearing this that is not right with you, that they would do that right now, that they would confess their sins, they would humble themselves, and that they would spend some time in prayer with you, that they would receive the forgiveness of your Son on the cross. And Lord, I pray that this church continues to move and talk like you, that when people come into contact with Mountain View Fellowship or anybody that calls this home, that they would see you, that they would hear you. And Lord, we just pray that as the early Acts church changed the world, would you use this church to change our communities, to change our families, to change this state, Lord. God, we are in such a crazy time right now. And we know that the church, your Holy Spirit working through your people. That is the only hope. And Lord, we offer all of this up to you. We offer our lives as sacrifices for you. Use them in any way you want. Lord, we pray this brings glory and honor to the name of Jesus Christ. And all of God's people said, amen.
Thanks for joining us here at Mountain View Fellowship. We'd love the chance to meet you in person. We gather each Sunday at 9 and 10:45 a.m. at 1955 Headlight Road in Strasburg, Colorado. If you aren't able to join us in person, we'll meet you right back here next week. God bless.